She was poisonously jealous of Valmy, and after our engagement was announced, she threatened this as a hit at Valmy. How was the matter first broached? She left a note in the pocket of my painting coat. I burnt it. She said she wanted me to meet her somewhere. Did you do this? Yes, in the studio one evening. She said she was going to have a baby. She said I was the father. I said I knew she was lying. I said I'd tell Lamy the whole story myself. And I said I'd go to Garcia and tell him. Then I just walked away. Did she threaten to tell your father? She said all sorts of things. She was hysterical. Did you give her any money? Pilgrim moved his head restlessly. As a matter of fact, I did give her a check for 100, and she promised she'd make no more scenes. In the end, she practically admitted the child was not mine, but as she pointed out, she had a perfectly good story to tell my father or Valmy if she felt inclined to do so. Have you made a clean breast of this to Miss Seacliff? No, I couldn't. It seemed so foul to go to her with a squatty little story when we were just engaged. I see. Thank you. I won't keep you any longer, Mr. Pilgrim. Very well, sir. Thank you. Fox showed Pilgrim out and returned to the fire. He looked dubious. Nigel reappeared and sat on the wide fender. Let us see Miss Valmy Seacliff, Brer Fox.
I wish you wouldn't make me coil up in that chair, complained Nigel when Fox had gone. It's right in the draught. Can't I just be here, openly? I'd like to have a look at this lovely.
Very well, I suppose you'll do no harm. The concealment was your own suggestion, if you remember. You may sit at the desk and make an attempt to look like the yard. The door was thrown open, and in came Valmy Seacliff, followed by Fox. She was dressed in a silk-trousered garment. Her hair was swept off her forehead into a knot on the nape of her neck. Moving her hips voluptuously, she walked rather like a mannequin. When she reached the chair Alain had pushed forward, she turned, paused, and then sank into it with the glorious certainty of a well-trained showgirl.
Well, Mr. Alain?
Miss Seacliff? My chief concern at the moment is to get a clear account of everybody's movements during the weekend. Mr. Pilgrim has told us of your motor trip with him to Boxover. How did you spend the evening?
We played bridge for a bit. I had a frightful headache and went to bed early. I felt quite sick with it.
That was bad luck.
The Pascoes had champagne at dinner to celebrate my engagement, and there was brandy afterwards. I loathe brandy. So Basil made me have a glass of port. I told him it would upset me, but he went on and on. The coffee was filthy too, bitter and beastly.
When did you give up the bridge?
I've no idea, I'm afraid. I simply couldn't go on. Basil got me 3 aspirins, and I went to bed.
Did you sleep?
Like the dead. I didn't wake till they brought me my tea at 9 o'clock.
And on Saturday you went on to Ankerton Manor. When did you start?
We had a glass of sherry at about 10, and then pushed off. Basil was in a great state, lest we should be late for lunch. The poor lamb wanted me to make a good impression on his extraordinary old father. I told him he needn't worry. Old men always go quite crazy about me.
You left Ankerton yesterday after luncheon, I suppose?
Yes. Basil was rather keen to stay on till Monday, but I'd had enough. The old person made me hack round the ancestral acres on a beastly little animal that nearly pulled my arms out. I saw you looking at my hand.
With a slow and beautiful movement, she extended her left arm, opened her hand, and held it close to Alain's face. At the base of the little finger were 2 or 3 scarlet marks.
My hands are terribly soft, of course, said Miss Seacliff.
Yes, said Alain. You are evidently not an experienced horsewoman.
What makes you say that?
Well, these marks have not been made by a rein. I should say, Miss Seacliff, that your pony's mane had been called into service. She pulled her hand away and turned rather pink.
I don't pretend to be a horsey woman, thank God. I simply loathe the brutes. I must say I got very bored with the old person, and besides, I didn't want to miss the pose this morning. I've got a good deal to do to my thing of Sonia. I suppose I'll never get it done now.
Fox coughed, and Nigel glanced up at Valmy Seacliff in astonishment. I suppose not, agreed Alain. Now, Miss Seacliff, we come to this morning's tragedy. Will you describe to us exactly what happened, please?